Yes, it's Monday. We are here. We are live on News Radio 930 WBEN. And by we, I mean me. Brian's off today. Joe Beamer with you for the full hour. And before we get to the promised topic that we are going to talk about today, because I promised it yesterday on Hardline, continuing our conversation, I've got to say something. You ever just... Yeah, I try not to look at myself, right? I don't find myself to be a good-looking person. I was just in the bathroom, and while washing my hands, I looked at myself in the mirror, and I have not shaved in weeks. Now, it's a pathetic showing because I don't grow much facial hair, but, you know, I'm noticing it looks awful. It looks awful. So, Jimmy, let's mark that down. Gonna be shaving today after the show. And we'll start fresh tomorrow. All right, yesterday on Hardline, if you didn't listen to it, shame on you. We do have the interviews at WBEN.com and on the Odyssey app. We spoke with a member of Stop the Metro, a group against Metro rail expansion. We also spoke with a member of the regional Committee for Regional Transit in support of the rail expansion. And now it's time for you. 803-0930, star 930. What do you feel with the news? I mean, this is old news, but the environmental study is about to be released to the public. And the next step will then go in with Metro Rail expansion. And the expansion will bring the Metro Rail to UB North. And there is opposition, there is support for this. Some people say that maybe it's too late. Buffalo's not the city it was when the Metro Rail was originally planned, when it was originally built, and that a city of this size does not need a rail to go any further. What do you say? 803-0930, star 930 is the number to get on. And like I said, I didn't want to give my opinion yesterday because we had our two guests on, and I'm sure we'll have them on again. But I didn't want to put my opinion while they're giving their opinion. But I will give my opinion today, and I'm hoping for yours. And I have a different perspective, I think, than maybe some of our listeners. Now, growing up, I grew up. When we moved here in 1999, I grew up right by the South Campus Station. So when we went to Sabre games, Bison games, concerts, anything downtown, we took the Metro Rail. That's how we got from point A, that's how we got downtown in the Beamer family in the late 90s, early 2000s. Then I proceeded to go to college on the Metro line. Lived there for 4 years and continued to take the Metro Rail to events downtown. Now, there was the issues of Metro Rail service being done at 12:30, and that was before Ubers, so having to get a ride back was sometimes an issue with taxis and stuff. But the point is, my proximity to the Metro Rail, I think, is the reason I have a different view than, say, someone like Brian, who wasn't always on the Metro Rail, right? So I grew up taking the Metro downtown. My mother, who worked downtown for years, would take the Metro to work. And I've told you the story about how I went to school down the street. She would take the Metro bus to the Metro Rail so I could have the car to drive 3 blocks. Again, I'm not proud of that. I'm thankful. But there was no need for that. And looking at how I look now, I could have used the walk from my house to the high school. So for me, I look at it this way, and I know we're going to have a lot of people disagree. I look at it this way. You expand the rail to more people, more places, more destinations. I think at the end of the day, you get more people taking the rail. You connecting UB North to UB South to the medical campus, I think, is really important. And yes, having a Metro Rail, having a rail, a train, go by what is now probably the biggest shopping destination outside of the fashion outlets, I would say in the North Towns, other than the fashion outlets or the Galleria, is the plaza on the boulevard right before the 290. I think we all know what we're talking about, what I'm talking about, where Costco's going, where the new Dick's Sporting Goods is going. I think those are all positive things. And I think it's far overdue, decades overdue. So I like the idea of rail expansion. But I do think you have to also factor in Buffalo's not the city it was 20 years ago. Buffalo's not the city it was when this was built 30 years ago. Does that factor in? I still think the Metrorail, because of the university, is a great idea. And I think if you had a station within walking distance or a short drive from where you live or where you go to school, you'd be more likely to take that, especially if you were going out for the night. You'd be more likely to take that, pay $5 for a ticket to go downtown, than pay $40 to park downtown. Also, when the Sabres were really good, I got to my dorm at Madai quicker than some people got out of the parking lot after a Sabres game. I'm just saying. So I want to know your thoughts. 803-0930, star 930 is the number to get on. And I understand the concerns. And like I said, I have my one opinion based on taking the Metro Rail as a kid, as a college student. But I also think that I think one of the many questions is Buffalo still a city that can support a Metro Rail, even expanded? And another question I'll throw out there, after the UB expansion, where should the Metro Rail expand next? Because the fact it doesn't go to the airport doesn't help us. The fact it doesn't go, we now know the stadium's going to be in the same spot for 30 plus years. Should the Metro Rail expand to the South Towns? Or is your answer simple, as I got on Twitter from numerous people today? Is your answer simple? No, Buffalo's not big enough to support this. 803-0930, star 930. Let's start. We'll take these right in order. Joseph is in Amherst. He is the Audubon Homeowners Association president. Joe, thank you so much for calling in.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. Just want to make a couple of quick points. Let's start with the big picture. Your point is that expanding the rail line will increase ridership. That seems pretty straightforward. But think about it. To get the ridership up, you are saying you have to double the length of the metro line, and therefore you're doubling the expense of operation. So you're hoping that twice the riders at what we know will be twice the cost actually leaves us with the same underfunded NFTA. It's like telling someone you'll double their salary, but they have to work 80-hour weeks. There isn't necessarily any marginal gain to increasing the length of the metro, certainly beyond UB North Campus. Furthermore, the more extended the single fixed line, the longer the trip for the UB students it is supposed to serve. The Stampede buses make a 10-minute beeline between campuses. Do you think students will really prefer a 30-minute joyride out and around the commercial district of Amherst? Time is money, and everyone's in a hurry. Who has the time to ride a half an hour out of their way? So it seems the project really isn't about UB students. Joe, let's dispense with disparaging the good people expressing their concerns for their homes, their neighborhoods, and businesses. I heard Mike Nygren yesterday morning. His concerns about foundation damage from the initial underground blasting and drilling are real, although the NFTA's prior reports don't reveal the extent of past and likely future damage. He told you yesterday that the prior Metro Rail construction damaged foundations out one quarter of a mile, yet you and he moved on. A quarter-mile damage circumference? That should be a full stop for deeper discussion. Concerns about disruption of neighborhood movement, but both during construction and during operation, are also very real. The NFTA's prior report does admit to issues of excessive noise and vibration during the train's daily operation from 5 a.m. to 1 a.m., but even that is downplayed. My own Audubon community neighbors share those concerns. This area we live in is built on expansive clay, which means it expands and contracts depending on the amount of moisture in the ground. Many houses have already dealt with foundation problems. To the extent that the Metro Rail makes those problems worse, the presence of the existing problems means no one will be able to blame the problem on the trains. Nice. kind of like no-fault insurance for the NFTA. You know that term NIMBY you mentioned yesterday, not in my backyard, has been the go-to insult for decades, so it tends to make me angry. As if homeowners don't have a right to object to projects that negatively impact their home values, their single most precious asset. I have another term. It's PIMP, profit in my pocket. That is what every homeowner should respond when they hear NIMBY to those who are essentially pimping the land for profits. Why can't those pushing these projects be honest for once? The NFTA could say, look, Metro expansion will expand our budget, so we'll all get promotions and raises with the larger staff. UB could say, look, we want to push off the cost of student transport from the university to the general public, and we don't want any unsightly maintenance facility on our landscape grounds. Wouldn't that be refreshing? The town officials could say, look, the developers and builder owners who have the clout want this project so they can make more money. And why push it north of UB? Joe, you want to know why? There's pressure on town elected officials by developers and business owners who had payments in lieu of taxes from the Amherst Industrial Development Agency that helped entice the owners and renters to occupy those buildings up John James Audubon Parkway. Now those pilots, those tax breaks have expired, so now a lot of those buildings are vacant. So there's pressure from building owners to move the Metro Rail, spend tens of millions of dollars so they can hopefully bring tenants back to their buildings. This whole thing is an absurd, endless cycle driven by short-term thinking and short-term profits. Joe, why don't Western New Yorkers ever get tired of the close-your-eyes-and-open-your-mouth hustle that we deal with time and time again? There's a lot more I could talk about, but I know you have to get on to other callers.
And Joe, let me just clarify. I think every point you made was a good point, and all should be looked into. I did not mention NIMBY, though. That was Michael saying what people refer to them as. I just want to make sure. I never said that anyone who's complaining is a not in my backyard person. I just want to clear the air on that.
Certainly, I stand corrected. I know that. That acronym is raised every time, and it's like we can always question the motives of the well-meaning and concerned homeowners, but we never question the motives of those pushing a project that is too expensive and already is well solved by the current bus situation. And why aren't we talking about the rapid bus? The Federal Transportation Administration pushed back the NFTA's Metro Rail plan and said, look at rapid bus. Now, we're jumping the gun a little bit here because we haven't seen the final report from the NFTA. If they come forward and say they are looking at rapid bus, that would eliminate the drilling and explosion, that would eliminate a lot of the costs of maintaining the infrastructure for a train system that, as you discussed yesterday, isn't currently being well maintained. So rapid bus is an option, even though we don't know, it doesn't necessarily have to take the route it's taking. Because, Confucius said, a man who chases two rabbits catches neither. Here we say, well, are we serving the students? Well, if we are, it could be a straight run up Millersport. Are we serving the commercial interests? Well, if so, then it should wrap all the way around the community. Or are we serving the developers? And if so, it should go as far as it can possibly go out into the hinterlands of North Amherst. And even Jim Gordon yesterday said that my Audubon community was supposed to be 40,000 residences, and it's now 4,000. Let me correct that. It's 400. We do not have 4,000 houses out here. We have 400. And we did a survey 2 years ago of the homeowners to determine their interest in either expanding their Metro Rail or expanding a bus service or none of the above. None of the above was the preferred option. They didn't see a need. And for a decade, I had an office at the corner of Sylvan and Millersport, and I watched people leave the Lockport 44 bus at Millersport, walk all the way across Sylvan and all the way up John James Audubon to go to jobs at call centers. I called repeatedly to say, why don't you run a spur or an extra bus up John James Audubon? The answer was, and the answer continues to be, if you look at the Metro Rail's own study, there's not enough demand. There is no demand out here for a Metro Rail beyond the North Campus, even if they built one.
And I think that's, Joe, I think that is probably the best point is the demand. And like I said, my opinion comes from growing up with the Metro Rail there, but I do have questions. Have we waited too long? And is the demand there? I think that's a big one. All great points. And Joe, I will also concede that you're right. I should have asked Michael Moore on the damage from the explosions. But when this report comes out, I'll have him back on Hardline, and I promise that I'll do a follow-up on that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Great.
That is Joe in Amherst, 803-0930, *930. Yeah, I mean, my opinion is based on, you know, my experiences getting downtown when I was a kid and when I was in college. Okay? I have to admit that in the last 10 years, I've probably taken the train twice, both times when staying downtown and just taking it, you know, from one stop to the next downtown because it's free. And I have to say, I do like that service. Right, you're downtown. Maybe you're walking Main Street. You want to get down. A train's coming. Oh, I'll jump on the train. I do like that service. I'm not gonna lie. And you know, the me who wants to see Buffalo be this huge big city would love to see the rail expanded. But again, Joe brings up some great points. Michael yesterday, if you missed that interview, Michael from Stop the Metro, WBEN.com, and on the Odyssey app. Brings up points that definitely need to be listened to. And I think at the end of the day, is the demand there is a huge question. And that's what I meant when I said, did we wait too long? You know, I filled in for Bowerly a few months ago, and we did a whole show on what the Metro Rail was supposed to be. Incomplete Buffalo Projects was the show. And, I mean, it is an eighth of what it was supposed to be. But it's not 1979. It's 2023. Buffalo's a lot different of a city. Let's stay in Amherst and speak with William. William, thank you for hanging on.
Thank you, Joe. I wanted to talk about the cost of Metro Rail versus buses. Fixed rail is very expensive compared to buses. Buses only cost about half of the light rail trains. And then you also have the cost of construction of a light rail. That's running into millions of dollars. The expansion of the cost of the light rail plus the train cars. I'm going to add this. Buses can be rerouted to multiple venues as needed. For example, if this Bills game is going on, buses can be sent down there for that one time, that one afternoon. Buses can be going down there for games and music venues that are being put out at the stadium. And I'm sure there will be. That will continue. They can go downtown to special festivals, to the games down there for the Sabres. They can even be going down. They can go down there for music festivals and for Allentown, all the various summer events we have, and even be routed up to Niagara Falls for events that occasionally come to that area. A fixed rail into Amherst cannot be. And also, there seems to be, by the NFTA, a failure to talk about the full costs. For example, this cost of damage is up to a quarter of a mile away from the construction site, which will be all the way from the South Campus all the way out to past the North Campus. So all the homes along that way, all the businesses along that way will be affected. And as far as the ridership increase, as Joe just mentioned on his call just before mine, the rail does not wrap around the entire community, which is, I believe, be needed to make it more viable. Into the Tonawandas, deep into the Tonawandas, halfway across Amherst to pick up people. I think a better idea would be to have a flexible bus line, a series of bus lines out this way. And here's another thing. We all tend to look at whatever our current technology as the end and be all. Well, it isn't. Sure, we're now talking about electric vehicles. But the next thing is coming. Mr. Musk himself has talked about how within a year or so he's going to have full self-driving implemented on his cars. Full self-driving is coming to industry everywhere, not just from Mr. Musk, but from everybody. We will have not only automobiles, but also we'll have trucks and buses all being self-driven. That cuts down immensely on the cost of the NFTA of any drivers that would be needed for buses. That's not here yet. That's true. But why put in a multi-million dollar rail line when just around the corner is the ability to have fuller service in a wider area without the cost of drivers.
Hey, William, fair point. Appreciate the call. I will say this. I do think most people now, and maybe that changes with technology, changes with time, most people would not trust a self-driving car. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just me. 803-0930, star 930. William, I appreciate the call. Let's get on. If you want to comment on this, if you're on hold, we'll get to you after the news. Here's where I am. I've always thought the Metro Rail could expand and it would help Buffalo. You guys are throwing a lot of reasons out there. Why not to? Why not to go on what one of the proposed paths are? What is your thought on a potential rail expansion? Do you see it? Is it necessary? Do you see it working in Buffalo? 803-0930, star 930. B-Maz and Beamer, back after this. Oh, welcome back. Final segment, B-Maz and Beamer. David Bellavia is waiting to join you in 22 minutes. Let's get to the calls. We're talking Metro Rail expansion, for it, against it, why. Anna in Eggertsville has been patiently waiting. Anna, welcome to the show.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me. I just want to say that this project will be obsolete the day it's finished. Rapid bus, and they can be natural gas buses. We don't have the infrastructure right now for electric anything. We need to rebuild that infrastructure before we set foot on destroying a neighborhood. Eggertsville is the most ethnically diverse suburb out of all the suburbs in the Western New York area. And I think the disruption to this neighborhood would be catastrophic, from homes being damaged, to asthma rates increasing, to sound, to rat infestations, to, you know, it just seems pointless. And I've sent letters to the governor, to the Senate Majority Leader, to, you know, Gene Vinyl, Claudia Tenney, Kathy Hochul, Brian Higgins, and have had nothing in terms of a response.
Anna, let me ask you, your first point, you said it will be obsolete once it's finished. What did you mean by that?
I think this technology has passed. This technology of tunneling, building, we're so far beyond all this. I mean, maybe if we were New York City, subways work very well because no one has a car. No one uses Uber. No one has Lyft. It works very well in a major metropolitan city. I have been downtown across from the Sinatra building 3 times in the last 2 months and counted ridership on the trains.
No,
5 people, 7 people, 2 people, 1 person.
And definitely since the pandemic, the ridership on the train I've noticed the same thing being downtown. So what you're saying is the destruction and all the things that will be caused by this, not worth it, especially in a city the size of Buffalo.
No, not at all. Not at all. And the environmental impact on this neighborhood will be catastrophic.
Are you interested
in the foundations cracking from the vibration, the demolition.
Anna, let me ask you, are you interested in what the environmental study will say? Because the things you are mentioning should be in there.
Because I think, you know, with radon being released, with it's just going to be a huge mess. And it seems like they're pushing this through so quickly. You know, it's hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. Maybe we should hurry up and wait for new technology to come on board.
And you think the new technology will be here before this project's close to being
absolutely
completed?
Absolutely. And we're looking at $500,000 yearly upkeep for the trains. $500,000 in taxpayer money. There's already $47 million that the NFTA receives from the mortgage tax, that we have no idea where that goes.
Anna, you bring up some fantastic points. I appreciate the call, Anna, in Eggertsville, 803-0930, *930. And again, you know, just because I would like to see, well, for most of my life, I've liked to see the rail expanded close to what was actually proposed. These are concerns, right? And I think Anna's right. What will this environmental study impact say? I usually joke about the environmental study, but what will it say? Will it voice what we've heard now from multiple people who are near the affected areas? What will it be? And Anna's right. You do have to weigh, when this is said and done, will it be worth the work that was put into it? You know, I mean, yes, you go to New York, Chicago, Baltimore, D.C. You have a rapid train transit system, right? And most of us, if we've been to New York, we get off the plane and we jump onto a subway. If you've been to West Virginia, they have a very small train system around the campus. Let's go to Jeffrey in Tonawanda. Jeffrey, thank you for hanging on.
You bet. Thank you. I want to say thank you to this station for giving us a platform for those who are against this project, because we do not have the opportunity other than media to express our concerns about what's really going on and how we can educate not only the Western New York community, but to say that the funds that is being allocated for a project of this magnitude is uncalled for an end project that just shuttles part-time students from one college location to the next. Let me just explain and educate to the Western New Yorkers that this project does not affect those in the communities of Kenmore, Tonawanda, and Amherst. It affects all of Western New York. And I will educate all of the listeners to tell their friends and go to our StopTheMetro.com and sign the petition once you hear and get educated about this project. The project cost estimated is $1 billion. Now that's if this thing finishes in the timeline that they're saying, which is 10 years. 10 years of this project will put all of the businesses on the stretch of this 4.7 miles out of business. They're going to acquire people's homes to put their equipment on and store it during the project. If you live anywhere near this, whether you have streets that are adjacent to the number one thoroughfare in the north towns, you're going to feel the rumbling of the cars. You're going to hear the horn when it exits. All the way up until 1 o'clock in the evening, this thing is running. If you look at the current ridership of the bus system on Niagara Falls Boulevard or on Sheridan Drive, which this will service, it's one of the lowest riderships in the NFT system. So this is really a shuttle that's going to shuttle non-taxpayers, well, some might be, non-taxpayers from UB South to UB North, destroying a community. Now, Joe, when you mentioned you took the light rail system downtown, it was 95% underground. This is dividing a community. What does it do for garbage collection, kids waiting for buses, snow removal? This is a highly trafficked area, which they tried to do something with it in 1993 by widening this street, but yet there's more accidents. And as you know, being a Buffalonian, there's been a lot of people who have passed away by being hit or struck on this boulevard. So it's a 10-year project, close to $1 billion. And for the listeners, it's almost the cost of a stadium. And when I say it's dividing a community, there's a $1 billion project covering the 33 to bring a community together. So it's typically hypocritical of what our leaders say. In fact, a recent TV media station had an opportunity to ask the supervisors of these communities, and they say they don't know nothing about the surveys that are currently being done. Now, if you ask me, it's either they're not telling the truth or they don't have their finger on the on their community, because everybody can see what's happening. They've already made a, if you live around this neighborhood, they've already made adjustments for this traffic that goes on the boulevard to hit the alternative routes. They've built roundabouts on Parkhurst and Parker. They've redone other locations. I mean, it's been crazy what these visionaries are doing. The Costco is going into one of the busiest areas. The Northtown Plaza is already three years in construction. The Boulevard Mall is a vampire, no businesses whatsoever left in there. It sits empty. It's sad. Let me finish, Joe.
I'm sorry, Jeffrey.
You can go. One more last thing is, I say to anybody listening that there is a $1 billion project that's being proposed under the table. If you think that our infrastructure could be, that money could be used better for our infrastructure, you drive on roads on Maple that are terrible. I was in East Aurora yesterday. The roads were terrible. Our aging water facilities that give us clean water are falling apart. The bridges in this has been a TV and radio media subject for years. What are we doing? We're going to put people from one campus to the other, and justifiably doesn't serve the community and the taxpayers of Western New York. Get on the phone, people, and help us out. Thanks, Joe, for helping us out, because we don't have a platform, because those at the NFT and our current leaders never say what they mean and never mean what they say.
Hey, Jeffrey and Tonawanda, 803-0930, star 930. I will say this. The Boulevard Mall is really sad. I know I talked about it last week, but you've got full anchor stores, but inside it is a ghost town. Again, I'm hearing everything, and I do think there are a lot of concerns that need to be addressed. Okay, I do like the idea, and someone on the text board said, "Joe, you proved it. If it's built, people will use it." And I go back to when I lived near the rail line. I don't anymore, but when I lived near the rail line, I took the rail line. I took it when I was a kid. I took it in college, right? Like I said, when the Sabres were really good selling out games, I was in my dorm before most people were out of downtown. So I do know if you are in short drive or walking distance of a station, you are more likely to use the rail. And I guess that's where my opinion comes from. My opinion's around that. However, I'm hearing the concerns of those that would be impacted. People, residents, businesses. And I do think those should be addressed, right? I don't think we should blindly go into it without addressing the concerns of people that will be affected by a 10-year project. But I do think the ridership thing, yeah, that's an issue right now. And less people working downtown, yeah, that's an issue right now. But I do believe if more people are on that rail line, more people will take it. Could I be wrong? Guys, I've been wrong a million times in my life, okay? Yes, I could be wrong. I'm speaking on personal experience from two decades ago. You guys are throwing some great points out there, and I hope that we can continue this discussion and get some answers to the things that you are bringing up. I hope the environmental impact statement answers some of those questions. And if we can't get an answer to those questions, or we can't avoid some of the concerns, yeah, you're right. Back to the drawing table. But like I said, and I've said it from the beginning, the idea of expanding has been something I have liked since I can remember talking about the Metro Rail. Again, because I look back to the original proposal, but a lot of things go into it. Is Buffalo the same city? Of course it's not. Does Buffalo have the people to support a train system? And that's another big question that was brought up yesterday, not brought up yet today, is, well, what happens in the summer when UB's not at capacity? You're right. That's another big question. When you won't have as many people using it because you don't have UB students and you don't have high schoolers who take the train now. So yeah, your ridership is going to be down in the summer. Does that get factored into the plan? 803-0930, *930. There's a lot of great points out there. And I hope that me putting my opinion out there is not turning someone away from calling them with their opinion. So far, it hasn't, and I'm happy. I want to hear every opinion. And I'm giving you my opinion that was formed two decades ago. 803-0930, *930. Anthony has been patient in Amherst. Anthony, thanks for hanging on.
Oh, Joe, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, well, I appreciate your points about, but there are not enough people like you, I'm afraid. But studies have to be done, and let's not reinvent the wheel. Let's look at what happened, projects, similar projects around the country, and what the concerns were, and what the environmental cost, and the ground, the foundation problems. Let's not have another project without just looking around and getting some input. Now, I'm just, my biggest fear, I really like this idea of Buffalo being a big city with a signature Peace Bridge and all these grandiose ideas, but it's a matter of cost versus benefit. Now, just on this show just now, cost was of $1 billion. Joe, do you know, do you have any information on the cost proposed?
I do not have an official cost proposed. I should have brought that to the table, Anthony. I'm sorry.
But that sounds like a lot of money. But what we don't need is another grandiose plan by big major players like Cuomo with the Buffalo Billion, the Solar City, and now Solar City is New York State owns that 1 million square foot property in South Buffalo, and they're leasing it to Solar City for $1 a year. Does anybody know that? These huge $1 billion grandiose plans.
Yeah.
You know, they have to be studied cost versus benefit. And Buffalo, it'd be nice to think of Buffalo instead of the shrinking population, which it has.
Yep.
It has a still shrinking population, to have a big, I'll be proud of our city, and have subway systems and the signature Peace Bridge and all these things. But what does this community really, really need for that kind of money? Like a recent caller just pointed out just a few minutes ago, you know, repair the infrastructure. But these grandiose problems and wishful thinking like build it and they will come, I don't think there will be a ridership cost versus benefit. I don't see that right now. But
Anthony, we're running out of time.
Just hopeful.
By the way, 2015, the NFTA estimated this project would cost $1 billion. That was in 2015. We know how costs have adjusted. I appreciate the call. And all good points. And yes, I do think the size of Buffalo might factor into it, right? But I'm standing with my opinion for now. However, I would like the answers to a lot of these concerns. And you know what? Maybe we will do that during the week, or maybe we'll do that on Hardline Sunday before we get out of here. But I want to thank everyone for the calls. Again, if you missed the hour yesterday where we had someone on both sides of the argument, WBEN.com or the Odyssey app, give it a listen. Again, fantastic points from both sides of the argument made yesterday on Hardline and made by you today with the phones and the text. Thank you so much. Before we get out of here, this whole Threads Twitter thing that everyone's debating about, it's insane. All right? Threads is not Twitter. Threads has like this, you know, you can open it up and it's a post from 4 hours ago. Don't be afraid to step outside your echo chamber. Let's stop making social media apps just so we can be talking with people who think like us. That's why Threads is even a thing, but Twitter is still the OG, and Twitter is just 10 times better. But I'm on it all because I have fear of missing out. Brian will be back tomorrow. We'll have BMAZ and Beamer. David Bellavia is up next after the news with Lucas Buckley. Have a great Monday. See you tomorrow on WBEN.